Coming up on this episode of Complete Estate Planning, we're piggybacking on a conversation we started on last episode about settling the estate, right? We talked about the probate process, what to expect each step of the way. Today, we're going to talk about settling a trust after death. How does it differ from the probate process, and what do you need to know? Well, we'll tell you that next.
Do you know what will happen to your loved ones when something happens to you? If you don't know the answer or don't like the answer, then this is the show for you. Listen up as we teach you about protecting your family legacy through better estate planning. Our family is here to protect yours. So welcome to the Complete Estate Planning Podcast with attorney Nick Rosenbauer. And here's your host, Ben George.
Welcome in to Complete Estate Planning. I'm Ben George with Nick Rosenbauer. He is an estate planning attorney, the owner of the Rosenbauer Law Office. And today, Nick, this is an episode that we previewed, we teased, as you would say, on our last show. But talking about the trust side of the settling of an estate, and we could probably wrap this up a lot quicker if we wanted to, right?
Yeah, for those of you who listened to the last episode, it was basically step-by-step what happens when someone passes away and we need to manage the inheritance and there's a probate case to open. So the one-sentence answer is we still have to find out who's in charge, find out what we have, pay off all the bills, divvy out the inheritance plan, and then make sure we do everything right. Roll credits at the end. But we don't need to get the court approval. We don't need to bow down at the altar and kiss the ring of the local probate judge. And that's it. That's the whole episode at the end.
There it is. All right, guys. So please subscribe, and we'll talk to you soon. No, we're gonna walk you through it. We could wrap it up if we wanted, but we want to take you through each step like we did the last time. Yeah. So as we do, and if you have questions for Nick as we go through this, something comes to mind, or you want to talk through your specific situation or begin your planning process as well, CincinnatiEstatePlan.com is the best place to start. You can schedule a call with Nick. There's a button right there on the front of the website. You'll see it. Click that. Get started. If you want to call, you can do so as well, 513-463-6789. All right, so this trust process, again, we're going to talk about specifically to Ohio. We're going to simplify these steps and break them down here. So where do we start, Nick? Is it similar to the probate process?
Yes and no. So obviously the first thing we want to do is take a look at the rule book, so the trust. We want to find out where the trust is, what it says. You want to make sure that we have the latest version. So if you have a trust from 20 years ago, obviously you want to make sure that there haven't been any changes to it. So we want to find the most up-to-date version of what the rule book is going to be. Who's in charge? How all that works? And yeah, so the biggest thing here, who's in charge of doing what? What does the inheritance plan look like? And, you know, confirming that we have the most up-to-date version. So one good thing to do is whoever's in charge, reach out to the attorney and say, hey, let's come in, go through it, walk through it with me, and then also confirm with the attorney's office, hey, the most recent thing I have looks like was signed in 2021. Is that up-to-date, or has something changed since then? But yeah, just finding out what's going on, who's in charge, and what the rules are. That's the first step. Of course, the only differing thing here from the last episode is we don't need to apply for the job because the trust maker already gave you the job. So it's not like, well, I named someone as the executor and they're still alive to do it, but we still have to get the judge to approve it anyway. In this case, if I name you as my trustee, I pass away, you're still here. As long as you're willing to take the job, it's over.
It's a little bit different in that respect. So yeah. After you've kind of reviewed things, where do you go from there?
Well, and then you're in charge, so we don't need to apply for the job that you've already been given, and we don't need to wait for the judge's approval or kind of the, accepting the job offer, so to speak. So, but we get right to, the items of, we can basically get right to work, okay? So I typically like to send out notification to the family. The laws on who needs to be notified and what information they need to be given are a little different. There's less of a timeliness issue with the court. I need to notify people every step of the way, even, hey, someone submitted the will. With the trust, They have to be notified of details at some point, but we're not necessarily under the gun. I do usually like to have the trustee notify the family, hey, so-and-so's passed away, you know, if they don't already know it. I'm in charge of handling their estate plan. I'm working with an expert, and we will have some information coming to you, and you will be getting something, but you know, it's not going to be yet. I still have some work to do, and I will let you know. And then, of course, finding out what we had. The inventory step, I would say, is very similar, except we can get started on it faster because we don't need to wait for a judge's approval, you know, basically to give someone the job. So again, finding out what they had, real estate, investments, bank accounts, business, anything like that. So finding out what we have and what we're dealing with. So all of that is very similar. We can just get started on it way quicker.
And that's a pretty significant time frame, right? Isn't it, from what I can tell just by our conversations, just the time that you save by not having to wait for the court?
Months. Yeah, absolutely. It is absolutely months. Frankly, once we get death certificates, then the next trustee is basically up and ready to go. By law, they're in charge the minute I pass away. But practically speaking, if I go to Chase Bank and say, hey, Nick passed away, his trust said I'm in charge after he dies, update your records that I'm in charge, they will say, sounds great, submit a death certificate, which is their way of quote-unquote proving that I'm dead. And once they have that, it's all taken care of. So literally, once you reach out to them and say, here's where the trust says I'm next in charge after he dies, here's proof that he died. So once you get the death certificate, the backup trustee is off to the races.
Okay. So again, that's why the trust makes a lot of sense for many people, because it does save you a lot of time and headache as well. All right. I know, and I'm guessing, that you can't get past the debts and the taxes, even if you are within a trust, right?
Well, I will give you the legal answer, and I will give you the morality answer here. Certain types of debts have more tentacles or more recourse or more protections to get paid than others. Unsecured debts, and I'm not sure how familiar our listeners are, but you have secured and unsecured debt. So a debt that is secured to something or like attached to an asset would be like a mortgage. Okay, the mortgage on your house, you know, they tie the debt to the mortgage. The house is the collateral. And theoretically, if you didn't pay, they could seize your house. They could foreclose on the house to protect themselves, guarantee that they get paid. And a car is kind of the other big one. You know, like theoretically, if you buy a car, I could repossess the car if you don't pay. Okay. Now, a credit card, there's no such thing. They can send bills to you and ruin your credit, but they can't repossess your house if you don't pay off MasterCard. So that's unsecured debt. So there's no specific asset that is collateral. Okay. So that's the explanation here. So unsecured debts, in most instances, they have no way to force you to pay them off unless they submit a claim to probate court. That is typically the arena where these creditors can protect themselves or ensure that they get paid back. And to be frank with you, if there is no probate estate, because we're handling this all through a trust, there is nowhere where they can raise their hand and demand to get paid. Now, don't ask me morally if stiffing MasterCard is a good idea. Typically, I say you're not legally required to pay these unsecured debts off. But if they were your parent or your sibling or your spouse's legitimate debts, you know, and they use that to buy groceries, I believe it is the right thing to do if there's money there to do it. But I tell my trustees, I can't force you to do it, and neither can they. Secured debts are different. Okay, because the car loan, they can still repo the car, and that doesn't go well. So you still have to pay that off. That mortgage, they can still foreclose on the house. You still don't want to mess with the IRS. Okay, so secured debts and taxes, those need to be taken care of. It is not worth trying to fight them. You will not win, and they have their ways. So secured debts and the IRS taxes, you want to get that paid. Unsecured debts like credit cards, personal loans. If it is legitimate and it's not a like an identity theft or something like that, I say morally, they are legitimate expenses. They should be paid, but legally, no one can force you to do it. Okay, so there's the legal answer and the ethical answer.
Well, we always appreciate you give us both sides of the coin. So we've got the debts and taxes settled. Time now to distribute, right? Like we did in the probate process?
Yeah, and I will say this, actually kind of the way I have this written, I would combine the next two steps here. Sometimes there are multiple payouts or multiple distributions, okay? And I've had a lot of times where someone says, hey, most of this is settled, so let's give people a bunch of the money now. Maybe there's something holding us up, but we don't need to hold everything up. So maybe there's like a big example would be, hey, we have a bunch of money. We can distribute most of it out to the kids. We are going to keep a little bit of money held back because we're not sure what the final tax bill will be. So maybe we keep a reserve fund of a certain amount of money, but the rest of it, hey guys, I don't need to hold all of this up for the next 5 months while we're waiting for the tax forms to come in. And you can do that as long as you are comfortable and safe with it. And as we go along, I know we don't have a court to submit it to, but we still keep good records, full accounting, every dime that came in, that came out, what it was spent on, et cetera. So there will be an accounting that comes with it like we did with probate court. But instead of having to have it approved by the court, we provide that information to the rest of the beneficiaries to satisfy them. So that's what we have to do. And I bring that up. I will say with trusts, we actually have a lot of times where there's more than one payout because we can get through a bunch of it and 80% of it is ready to go, you know, within a few months. Or, you know, but the rest of it isn't, or we're waiting on taxes, or we're waiting on the house to sell. Although right now, that's not hard to do. years ago, in a previous real estate market, I said, well, the money's ready to go, but the house could sit on the market for a while. Let's keep some money in case that happens. But yeah, so that's pretty much the way that works. And also, Ben, what if you have adults who can get their money right away and little ones who maybe can't get their money yet? So we give the money to the adults, but the little ones, we have to hold on to it. So we'll call that a first distribution, if you will. Or an initial payout. And then that's pretty much the way it works. And then eventually there will be a final payout of some sort. And that may be very simple. Hey, we kept a little bit of money back for taxes. Taxes have been paid, so we have a little left over. Send it out. Call it a day. Or it may be, hey, I paid the money out to the adults, but I'm holding on to the money to the kids until they hit a certain age. Eventually, we get to the point where that's all done. We do the final payout and distribution. We'll do a final accounting, you know, where we have all the records of everything that we did from start to finish. And it is usually submitted to all of the beneficiaries for them to review and give a thumbs up on, just to make sure, like basically to prove you haven't stolen from them. Here's all the activities I did, and here's your share of the money. And then once that's all done, once everyone looks at it, approves, gives a thumbs up, then you can close things out. Okay, so the trustee files any necessary paperwork, you know, to send all the information out to the family. And once we get through it, it's done. I have completed my job. And then one of the items here is you get this zero balance bank account, and you're done. You call it a day. So it's very similar to the probate process, but there may be multiple installments or payouts. It may not all happen at once, and you can probably get started on it. Like you can basically skip three steps. Okay, it's like going to an amusement park and you get the fast pass. You don't have to wait in line for 2 hours. You can jump to the front of the line.
Yeah, everybody likes that fast pass. There's no question about it. It makes life so much easier, which is really the case here as well. So interesting to see how the two compare, Nick. Again, you can see the value of having the trust and putting that in place. And if it's something you want to learn more about or discuss with Nick to see if it fits what you're trying to accomplish with your estate, you can always get in touch, CincinnatiEstatePlan.com. Schedule a call with Nick right there on the front of the site. You'll see the button. Click that and find a time that works. It'll be off and running. But if you prefer to call, you can always do that at 513-463-6789. Anything else to add, Nick, before we close it out?
I think that pretty much covers it. Just if everyone can cross their fingers for my struggling Dayton Flyers here. We're a couple days away from Selection Sunday as we record this. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get a 9 seed, and we're probably going to lose in the first round. But God forbid we find a way to win a game against a reasonably talented team. We'll then get smoked by Houston again or something like that. What a...
Glad you're in a good headspace heading into the tournament.
We are terrible. We just lost in our first game in the A-10 tournament to Duquesne, who's no good. And it's, I mean, it's terrible. Like, do you know Dayton has won a grand total of one A-10 tournament ever?
Wow.
It was 21 years ago. Our boy Anthony Grant, now he will get picked. This will be his first time ever making the NCAA tournament for UD.
Wow, overrated. That's crazy. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. People don't realize that. He's a great recruiter, but we folded. We haven't done anything good since we beat UC over Christmas break. And so we're folding. We're limping into the tournament, and it's just not going to go well. So would appreciate some sympathy if you guys want to like send me a sympathy card or something like that.
Yeah, as an Alabama guy, I'd know all about Anthony Grant and kind of agree with you. Great guy, great recruiter. I think he would make a great assistant.
And it'd
be, but yeah, it's tough to watch. Well, you had the 1 year too that who knows, you may have had a completely different opinion if it wasn't for COVID, but here we are.
Yeah, well, and I'll tell you this, again, we're kind of getting off track here, but this is not how Coach Nick has run, you know, Team Chicoletta, Big Corn, Mozzarella Sticks. This is not how I do roster management, and I'm obviously, you know, pretty experienced there. But he runs such a short rotation, and we're all shooters. And when you get worn down as shooters, you know, at the end of the season, like, I will tell you what, we're lighting the world on fire in November, December, January. But we have, you know, 5 guards that play 4 positions. All of them basically play 38 minutes a game. And we're not in people's face. We fold under pressure, against pressure defense now. And it's like we have looked tired for 2 months, and we have 27 guys on the bench who probably have not taken their warm-up off more than once or twice this season. So it's like I don't know what you expect to happen, because we play our guys, we run them into the ground, and you know we expect guys to be just as juiced now as they were in December. So I don't know. I just use the subs a little more. That's what I've been doing. I got platoons that I've done, especially in soccer, and that's helped my guys stay fresh. Not that my coaching resume is the same as Anthony Grant's, but I'm catching him slowly but surely. So,
well, if you stuck with us this long, please hit subscribe on the podcast. Right, you should be following along for every single episode as well, and we appreciate your support as always, and always get in touch with Nick if you have questions. Again, CincinnatiEstatePlan.com or 513-463-6789. Nick, as always, it's a pleasure catching up. Hope you have a great week.
Yeah, you too.
The Complete Estate Planning Podcast is brought to you by the Rosenbauer Law Office, based in Westchester, Ohio, and serving the entire Cincinnati area. The show is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and everywhere you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to the show on your favorite app today and never miss an episode. Just search for Complete Estate Planning with Nick Rosenbauer to find us, or visit CincinnatiEstatePlan.com to listen to past episodes, to contact Nick, and to learn more about protecting your family legacy. That's CincinnatiEstatePlan.com.
This show is for informational purposes only and does not provide any legal advice. Information on this show may not constitute the most up-to-date legal information. Please do not act or refrain from acting based solely on anything you hear on this show. This show does not form any attorney-client relationship with the Rosenbauer Law Office, LLC. Please seek the counsel of a qualified attorney before addressing your own estate planning needs.